Thank you, Tandy. It's a pleasure to be here. So the title of my talk is Nitrogen and Irrigation Effects on Seed Yield Oil Content and Nitrogen Use Efficiency in Camelina. Camelina has gotten a lot of interest, but first let me tell you where we are. If you look at the map, we're here in central Arizona, and it's the desert. It's very arid, and rainfall averages about 8 inches a year. And I don't know if this is an elevation map or actually a snow map, but we're all reliant on snow from the Colorado Rockies for about 80% of our irrigation. There's no dry land farming in Arizona. Furthermore, the irrigation system, due to our canal infrastructure and level land and concrete canals and level basins, 95 or so percent of the irrigation is surface, and that's changing. There is center pivots and subsurface drip coming in. Here you can see some buffalo grass, and here you see some cotton. Yields are high in Arizona for crops like cotton, alfalfa, but the irrigation use is very heavy. It's measured in feet. Now, camelina seems like a bit of an unusual fit for the desert because it is native to Europe. It's more of a crop in the U.S. and in the northern plains as a rain-fed crop. But there's been a lot of interest, of course, in its use as a biofuel in the last few years. And I think in the last administration, there was a couple hundred thousand acres of growers in California growing camelina, specifically for the DOD. I don't know where that's going is currently, but there has been interest in the West. I've already stated that. But our environment gives a good opportunity for research on irrigation and for drought tolerance and heat stress. So our location has that advantage, and it's one of the reasons we're interested in camelina. Our location has also done a lot of work on Lescarella in the last 15, 20 years. So this study describes a nitrogen by irrigation study under a linear move overhead sprinkler. Our location, Maricopa, showed you on the map. We're about halfway between Tucson and Phoenix. Our soil is a Casa Grande sandy loam, sandy clay loam. It's an aridisol. We used the cultivar Robinson that we drilled in 18 centimeter, about 8-inch rows in early December in 2 years, 2012 and 2013. We harvested in April of both years. And the harvest varied. We harvested the low water plots first, then the medium to high waters a couple weeks later. Nitrogen was applied from 0 to 150 kilos of N per hectare in three splits, and I'll show you a picture of our fertilizer applicator. We used urea ammonium nitrate 3200. Now, this study was unique because we actually had 10 levels of irrigation. They were not randomized. It was a systematic, like a line source type of design, that we had 10 irrigation levels across this 55-foot span, just one span. And every 5 meters, the nozzles were changed. The nitrogen strip plots, on the other hand, were perpendicular to the irrigation, and there were 4 meters by 50 meters. And we did biomass sampling during the season as well, but I won't present that data today in the interest of time. But we were very interested in nitrogen uptake at harvest, the straw, and in the seed to get N uptake and N efficiency. This is the second year of our study, and the reason I point out it's the second year is we had a little bit of emergence problems. We had a better stand the first year. We didn't have these skips, as you can see. But this is the soil, the site, and that's our little high-clearance fertilizer applicator. And you could even see the liquid nitrogen, those lines of liquid that we just applied. I turned around and doing another pass. And after the fertilizer was put out in these three splits during the season, we would irrigate right away, so the fertilizer was irrigated in. Here's a little close-up of this old fertilizer rig. It has a tank on the back. We also did a study with durum wheat in the other stand. You can see the durum wheat better than the camelina that I'm in right there. This is what a shot late in the season, and you can see different combinations. That is a high nitrogen, high water plot right in front of us, and to the left a little bit of a low nitrogen plot and medium nitrogen. But actually, there's the gradient. If you go down this way, away from where we're standing down the field, this lower water. So here's high nitrogen, high water. The same high nitrogen plot, medium to low water down that way. And again, you can see on a zero nitrogen, pretty good biomass here. It's still declining. Here's another picture showing a similar thing, the high water, high nitrogen, etc. There's a shot later in the season getting closer to harvest, the camelina. As you know, it's hard to harvest. It shatters. We harvested everything by hand, and we started with the low water because it matured the fastest. Now let's look at some of the data. The first year, we can see this graph is showing my camelina seed yield versus the 10 water levels. And then each of the lines is for the 5 nitrogen rates. And if there was a significant response to water, which there wasn't under the zero, then we fit a curve to it. You can see that our yields were fairly high, over 1,500 kilos here at about the 380 or so millimeters of water with the medium to high nitrogens. And if we show the next figure, I'm now looking at the nitrogen response on the x-axis, okay, for the different water levels. And here you can see at our lowest water level, the black triangles, there's no nitrogen response. And the yields were about 700 kilos, okay. And the second level, the square, we get a little bit of water response, but not much. And then you could see a nitrogen response, excuse me. So here it almost looks like we could have added more nitrogen. The second year, for reasons that's not clear to me, we had a dip in our data here at this water level. They were fairly small plots, so that it's hard to explain. The nitrogen response looked like this. All these treatments, all these water levels had, these top three water levels had the identical nitrogen response. We also use crop circle active sensors weekly to pass over the plots about a meter over the tallest plots. And I'll show you some of the data at 70 days, the 70th day of the year in March 11th or so. Here we're looking at the water response. There's the nitrogen response by water level in terms of NDVI. So NDVI is maxing out at about 0.7. Second year, curiously, we got higher NDVIs, a little bit higher biomass. And there's NDVI year two versus end rate. Again, at the lowest water, it reflects the yield pretty good, but there's no response. Now, this is a very busy slide, I know, but we have 2 years here, nitrogen rate, the odd water levels, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, and we have the biomass yields and uptake, recovery efficiency of nitrogen in oil. So I'll just highlight some of the results. For biomass, as you would expect, you're getting an increase. If we look at this water level, biomass is going from 5.4 to 8.4 tons, similar the second year, although we do have some 11-ton biomasses in year two. Nitrogen uptake, you can see that if we go up to this medium to high waters, nitrogen uptake reaches as much as 100 kilos of N per hectare at the high end rates. And the recovery efficiency, you can see, ranges from 37 to 49. Our highest nitrogen recovery efficiencies that you'd expect would be at the lower end rates. So if we look at recovery efficiency, here's some 70 excuse me, 60% recovery efficiency, 37-49. If you look at the oil, our maximum was about 40%, but it would increase with water and decline with nitrogen. So if we look, let's look at a medium, a high nitrogen rate, and we look at the oil, it goes from 32, 35, 36 as we increase water, and then we go up to 40% oil there, if you can see that. But then if you look at the nitrogen, let's look at a medium water, the oil will decline with nitrogen. It starts at 40, goes to 30, oops, I lost my cursor, there it is. Here I am, 40% oil, and then as we increase nitrogen, 37, 36, 35, so the oil decreased. Same trend the second year. So in summary, we've got fairly high yields compared to dryland camelina. Expectedly, there's an interaction between nitrogen and water. We don't get much nitrogen response at low water. And the maximum yields, it looked like we could have added more nitrogen the second year. We might have been low on the nitrogen. Oil content increased linear with water, but decreased with end level from a maximum of 40%. Nitrogen uptake maxed out at 100 kilos N per hectare. And recovery efficiency ranged from 16 to 72. The 72 was at the lower end rates. It wasn't really the optimal nitrogen and water levels. So that's all I have. Maybe there's time for a question or two. Yeah, he was first. Yes?
Was there a method to the irrigation to determine the quantity that you applied, or was it consistent across the system? How was that determined?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the first part of your question? How do we return the irrigation? Okay, thank you. Yes, we have prior research with camelina, and we had an idea that it's really probably about two-thirds of the water needed for durum wheat. And so, yeah, if we go back, you can see we range from 200 to 400 millimeters of water. And so we actually have crop coefficients, and the second to highest water we're estimating is around 100% ET replacement. So the 400, I'm sorry I didn't point that out, and then the 420 millimeters, about 120% of optimum. And the low water, the 200 millimeter, is probably about 30% ET replacement. So we went from deficit to optimal to slightly over based on previous research. And it seems like we hit that pretty good. Is there time for another question? How do I, what?
Your weed control.
Oh, weed control. We didn't use any herbicides. I think we did some hand weeding, but we don't really have, or are not very familiar with what herbicides to use. So we were pretty fortunate not having many weeds. So thank you. Still got time. The biomass? We went as high as 10 tons, 10 tons per hectare, yeah, on the high end, and that corresponded to about a 1,500 kilo seed yield. Thank you.